Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment. Master Commissioner Robert Neer presiding.
Please be seated. The first case to be heard this morning is number 2014-513, Cruz versus the Tax Commissioner. For the appellant, Mr. Wood.
Morning, Your Honor. I reserve 5 minutes. Simple facts as found below. There were two shareholders in a closely held corporation. Majority shareholder, Susan Cruz, also the president. Minority shareholder, Mr. Samsa, who was up until a certain time responsible for paying the taxes. A deficiency was sent to Mr. Samsa notifying the corporation that the tax commissioner wanted sales tax money. The board found that there was service, that the service upon the corporation was made through Mr. Samsa. Then ensued a long investigation as to whether Mr. Samsa or Ms. Cruz had responsible party liability. Eventually,
could I ask for a clarification there? When you said there was service on Mr. Samsa, what are we talking about? The assessment against the corporation, or an assessment against him personally, or which
no,
assessment is that?
It was against the corporation.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what the board found below. That's a fact found below.
Was there a BTA appeal in the corporate case or not?
Well, because the corporation never received service, there was no appeal because they didn't even know there was a case. Actually, the only way we knew there was a case was Mr. Samsa's lawyer called up Ms. Cruz, and because he was being investigated as a responsible party. And at that point, I was retained as the attorney at that time. At that time, the time for appeal had long passed. The next thing that the board found was that Mr. Samsa, at the time of service, was no longer affiliated with the corporation. He was not doing business from the address at which service was made. Which brings up the question of whether Ms. Cruz could refused to pay on the grounds that there was no valid judgment below. She's helped in this matter because the board found that as president of the corporation, she had the same identity as the corporation. Therefore, she certainly had standing to raise the issue as to whether the corporation ever received notice. And without being able to contest the amount below, it's fairly futile to proceed with the case. Therefore, she appeals on the single issue. Can she raise as a defense the fact that the corporation was never served and therefore the deficiency that the state is seeking is not a valid deficiency? There's only one case that was seriously cited on this, and this was Rowland. And it did not, as pointed out in the brief, stand for that proposition at all. So just basic notions of fairness are that a corporation has a right to contest. And as Rowland said, they waive that right by ossetancy, which is the only time I've ever heard the word, looked it up, and it means yawning. If you yawn upon your rights, not just sit on them, just yawn on them, who cares? Then you're bound. But there was no ossetancy here at all. Nobody knew about it. So there was no opportunity to contest, and thus the responsible party finds themselves facing a judgment that was obtained with absolutely no plaintiff or defendant.
Now, is it your contention that a failure to properly serve the corporation means that there can be no valid assessment against the responsible party?
Yes. Okay. Yes. How can they pay a debt unless the judgment is a valid judgment? It must be a valid judgment. Now, if there had been any contest below, and these, I mean, the tax rules make perfect sense. We know people are going to try and duck taxes. We're not going to duck service to duck taxes. We're going to go through all these nonsenses. The point is, once you get the corporation in there, right, then you can get a valid judgment. Once you get the valid judgment, you're not going to be able to, you know, wiggle out of it by claiming, you know, it's the corporation, it's not me. I mean, when it comes to taxes, there's no corporation. There's pure identity. You pierce the veil.
Let me ask you this. If under the statutes, is it necessary for the tax commissioner to serve the corporation before going after a responsible party? Or is it possible under the statutes for the commissioner to just skip an assessment of the corporation and issue an assessment against a responsible party?
The way I understand the law, it's this, that you are responsible for the judgment against the corporation. Okay. Therefore, it just presumes that there has been a judgment against the corporation. The case law seems fairly uniform on this matter. In fact, one of the things we argue about so much is what is the statutory, were the statutory rules as to service complied with in this case? And of course, the next, the first question is, before you can argue that, is Ms. Cruz allowed to argue that? So we're coming in here arguing, yes, she can, because she is president of the corporation, which was found by the board, and that she had control over all the corporation's doings. That was found by the board. And therefore, she obviously has standing on behalf of the corporation to raise the matter. The only other way I can imagine this being done is by bringing a common law motion in the name of the corporation in order to set aside the judgment for lack of proper service. It would have to be common law, 30B6, you know, we can't do it through, you know, the 60B at all. So instead, it just seems far more efficient a time that seeing all she is the president and we do have a forum here, to raise it exactly in this form.
Let me ask you something else. The corporation here was assessed. That assessment was not contested, and you allege that's because it wasn't properly served. It was not contested, it became final. Was there then a collection proceeding against the corporation? Was there a collection case filed against the corporation, or do you know?
No. There was no collection case filed against the corporation, to my knowledge. There was nothing to give notice at all that anything had happened. As I say, my first notice of that was from the other side. There was a debtor's hearing, I remember, in Cleveland, rather amusing, at which the judge didn't bother to show up. And neither did the debtors on the grounds that they weren't named in the suit. I mean, the corporation was named in the suit, so. That occurred also after we had found out that there was a case. So there was no actual notice at all. And legally, there was no notice. And that's essentially my case.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wood. Mr. Ebersole.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Dave Ebersole, counsel for the tax commissioner. I'd just like to begin by clarifying a factual matter, and that is the idea that the underlying corporate assessments were not properly served. In fact, they were properly served, and the record reflects that. That's what the BTA expressly found. Just as background, the service statute, Revised Code Section 5703.37, provides that the commissioner must serve his assessments by certified mail upon the person assessed. And if that certified mailing is successful, then there has been complete service. If that certified mailing is returned, then the commissioner may perfect service by resending a copy of the notice of assessment by ordinary mail to an address where the person does business or receives mail. And that's precisely what occurred in this case.
So, but the corporate assessment was it sent to Mr. Samsa?
They have admitted that Mr. Samsa received it as 33% minority shareholder, which qualifies him as an affiliate, as someone who the commissioner may serve the corporation through him. So that would be fine. And I want to clarify that there are 27 assessments for various time periods. Commissioner first sent the 27 assessments, corporate level assessments, to addresses listed on Ms. Cruz's vendor's license application. As identified, there was two addresses listed, and each assessment was sent to one of two of those. And they were identified as a place where she received mail, or the corporation received mail, or did business. And seven of those assessments were successfully served by certified mail. So they absolutely had notice of those proceedings and were properly served for those all 27, but certainly those seven, and then the remaining 20 were properly served by resending via ordinary mail. So, and we have a demonstrative exhibit attached to our brief.
And is that evidence in the record of this case?
Yes, the commissioner's proof of delivery system is located on pages 171 through 190 of the statutory transcript, which underlies the demonstrative exhibit. So again, there was the certified mailings were properly received at both. You know, there were successful delivery to each address in those seven.
And the commissioner used addresses that were on the vendor's licenses.
Yeah, the vendor's license application, which is located on page 136 of the statutory transcript. And it's important to keep in mind that there's a vendor's license. We filed a notice of additional authority, and that included revised code section 5739.17, I believe it was, which provides that there must be a vendor's license for each location. And, you know, if that address changes or moves, there must either be a new application or an update of the address. We also provide in our brief a statement of the commissioner's records, which is at page 132. I'm listening to a lot of pages of the transcript. Page 132 reflects that nothing had changed as of 2012, so the information on the vendor's license was current throughout the assessment periods and the periods when they were assessed. So
there was what you're saying is there was nothing before the commissioner to suggest that some other address would be a more appropriate address.
Right, and they're certainly within the statute. They're certainly satisfy all due process requirements. They're reasonably calculated to give notice of the assessment and an opportunity to contest it, as this court held in Castellano v. Cosidar. And I want to further clarify that there were collection proceedings. Mr. Woods stated that there were not, but in fact there were, and that's reflected in the transcript as well. I think it's page 124 of the transcript. I have to bear with my citations to the record, but they're accurate. And page 124 of the transcript contains records from the Cuyahoga Court of Common Pleas, where when the corporation misappropriated sales tax revenue that it collected or should have collected from its consumers, it didn't remit it to the state, and then, you know, received notice at both addresses, and then when it did not appeal before the commissioner, it exhausted its appeals rights, it was certified to the Collections Enforcement Division of the Attorney General's Office, who instituted the proceedings in the Cuyahoga Court of Common Pleas.
Now, in the collection case, there probably has to be some kind of service there, too.
Right.
What do we know what service was made when the assessment was actually filed in the Common Pleas Court?
We have, the transcript seems to be indicating that that there was service. I can't state with certainty what occurred. Okay. So I can certainly supplement if that would help this court. But in any event, As the Board of Tax Appeals expressly found, and as the record reflects, there was good service, which is a faulty premise upon which this hypothetical issue raised in the notice of appeal rests. And for that reason alone, this case should be disposed of in the commissioner's favor. Now, the appellant seems to be arguing in their merit brief in this court that the commissioner has admitted otherwise, but that's plainly false. We have not admitted otherwise. In fact, the commissioner's counsel stated at hearing that in fact, there was good service. There was no witness testimony or exhibits introduced. There's nothing in the appellant's notice of appeal to this court showing otherwise. And in fact, when we filed our merit brief in this case, explaining how the record reflected that there was good service, there's no reply brief filed in opposition. So we certainly haven't admitted that there was not good service. And to the contrary, we have shown that there is good service of those corporate level assessments. Independent from that, there's a jurisdictional defect with this case. The commissioner has a pending motion to dismiss regarding. Before the Board of Tax Appeals, Ms. Cruz contested two things. First, her status as a responsible party, okay? And secondly, her whether there was good service of the underlying corporate assessments. The Board of Tax Appeals found against Ms. Cruz on both grounds. They found as president and 66% majority shareholder, she was a responsible party, and secondly, that in fact there was good service. Now, neither of those findings were appealed to this court, and those are the findings that form the basis of her responsible party liability. And having failed to contest those findings, she hasn't requested that this court examine any BTA finding that would, you know, if reversed, would entitle her to relief. So, having failed to specify error with the BTA's decision and order below, it would be appropriate to dismiss this case for lack of jurisdiction. The third point I wanted to raise is that, you know, this hypothetical service or notice issue that has been raised in the notice of appeal has not been timely asserted. And in fact, it has been waived. Service or notice issues belong to a narrow class of jurisdictional issues that, if not timely asserted, are waived, as this court has recently held in Abreides v. Testa. And the failure to raise the service or notice issue in the corporate level proceedings, either before the commissioner or upon exhaustion of appeal rights in collection proceedings, has waived, you know, even if has waived any sort of contention now. So that's the third independent ground for disposing of this case in the commissioner's favor. So if I could just...
But if it had been the case that the corporation had not been properly served, then it might be a live issue in this case, or not.
I would say that in this case, that we're not faced with that issue because, in fact, there was good service, right? And that's what the BTA found, and that's what the record reflects. Of course, as we, you know, upon becoming final and conclusive, there's nothing else to decide. And as the court stated in Roland v. Collins, the corporate officer is bound by the ostentancy of the corporation, right? And as a matter of practice, the tax commissioner, you know, always issues corporate assessments either prior to or concurrent with responsible party assessments, such that, you know, I'm not aware of any case being litigated where there was, a challenge to the amount of the assessment amount through the responsible party. It's always a case that it's challenged through the corporate officer. The corporate assessment, it's always the case that the amount is challenged for the corporate assessment. Just as a matter of practice and the fact that it's not before this court, I don't think we're faced with that.
But again, hypothetically, assuming that someone could demonstrate that the corporation had not been properly served, might they not make a claim that they're not bound by the ostentancy of the corporation because the corporation wasn't ostentant, it wasn't properly served?
It's theoretically possible, Your Honor, and I would say that it's not before us in this case.
Okay.
So just to conclude, there are three independent grounds for disposing of this case in the commissioner's favor. The first being that there was good service of the 27 underlying corporate assessments, as the BTA found, as the record reflects. and that, you know, belies the faulty premise upon which this appeal is based. The second is that the failure of the appellant to assert any error with the BTA's finding below that could form the basis for relief. And the third is the waiver of the service or notice issue for not timely asserting it. So the commissioner would respectfully request this court affirm the BTA decision and order below, or alternatively grant his pending motion dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ebersole. Mr. Wood, you have reserved 6 minutes and 32 seconds. And let me just ask you at the outset to comment on the situation of the record of this case and whether or not it shows the proper service of the corporation.
When I reread the brief this morning, it was the first time I'd ever heard of this. I felt a little bit like the time I was in front of the Supreme Court and suddenly the guy pulls out a new piece of evidence and say, but your honors, you know, the facts are the facts that were found by the board. That's what we're here. I'm appealing from the board in this case.
But didn't the board actually find that the service had been proper on the corporation?
We find that service on Mr. Samsa was sufficient, as it was reasonably calculated to give notice of the assessment and allow the taxpayer to present his objections, Castellano versus Cosidar, etc. That was the finding of the board. The board did not find that there was service on the corporation. It was upon Mark Samsa. And that's what I'm proceeding on, what the board said. I incidentally have a picture proving that the structure had burned down before any of this was done, and let me just show it to you. You don't present evidence on appeal, and that's what's happening here. I mean, you're changing what the board had found. We're stuck with the facts below. That's the collection action was as I reported it. There was a collection action. If you check the dates on it, you'll find out it was long after there was an assessment, naturally, because they were trying to collect on a judgment. That didn't go so well, actually. As I said, the judge never showed up, and there was a great deal of hoo-ha, and the case just completely died. It's still active up there, but somehow nobody wants to call it again. I don't know how that happened. And as for the waiver in the brief, it was the brief set out how at every step of the proceeding, the issue was raised about the judgment and whether it was valid at every step. I think it was a four-step proceeding here. And that's in the brief, so we never raised it. But on the other hand, matters of jurisdiction can be raised at any time. You don't necessarily have to preserve those. And that makes perfectly good sense. Yeah. See. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.
Our briefing.
Why don't you step up to the podium, Counselor?
Our briefing reflects that the assessment amount total was $124,000, but in actuality, as the final determination reflects, it is roughly $599,000. And so I just wanted to correct that error in the commissioner's brief.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ebersole. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.